Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh. Dear fellow redeemed, the text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Then they went into Capernaum. On the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them as one who has authority and not as the experts in the law. Just then there was a man with an unclean spirit in their synagogue. It cried out, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked the spirit, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and after crying out with a loud voice, it came out of him. Everyone was so amazed that they began to discuss this with each other. They said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly throughout all the region of Galilee. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Words are powerful. How often do we think about that fact? How often do we realize that? How often are we aware of the fact that the words that we use in our lives, whether we're writing them or speaking them, are powerful? Words can build people up. Words can tear people down. Words can express love, or they can express contempt. Words can bless, or they can curse. Words can inspire and ignite hearts and minds, or they can crush hopes and dreams. Words can set amazing things in motion, or they can completely shut them down. Words can bring people together, like it does this morning, or they can tear us apart. And words are not just powerful in and of themselves. The fact that words are powerful is kind of a phenomenon, isn't it? But think of the fact that oftentimes their power and effectiveness has a great deal to do with who is speaking those words. And "I love you," spoken by someone you don't really care for, doesn't have the same meaning or effectiveness as it does when it's spoken by your spouse or your child. "I promise" means a whole lot more than when it comes from someone whom we trust and know well than it does when it comes from someone who is a little less trustworthy. And it's an election year, so I'm thinking, of course, of politicians. Those promises, especially in an election year, probably don't mean a whole lot. The command, "Do it," and "Do it now," carries a lot of authority when it's spoken by someone who's high ranking in the military or the leader of a nation. It carries less authority when it's spoken by a bossy five-year-old. As parents, you do hope your words carry some authority with your children. As spouses, you hope your words mean something to your husband or to your wife. As a pastor, I hope that my words have some impact on all of our people, young and old, all the people I'm serving, teaching, and preaching to each week. As powerful as our words can be, no one's words carried more meaning, more authority, or more impact than the powerful words of Jesus. And it's his words that bring us together again today. His words reveal, and again, that's what the word epiphany means, the season of the church year we are celebrating. His words reveal himself to us, and they validate him as the Son of God, true God himself. The words of our text tell us that Jesus was teaching them as one who has authority, and that the people were amazed at his teaching. Why? Why were they so amazed at this authoritative teaching of Jesus? Well, it had a great deal to do with the contrast between Jesus' powerful words and the words of the religious teachers of his day. Verse 22 gives us that contrast. It says, he was teaching them as one who has authority and not as the experts in the law. The messages that these scribes, these experts in the law, were preaching were, we might say, notoriously boring. They were usually not much more than just the reciting of sentences and man-made precepts, laws passed down from rabbis from long past. Their teaching and preaching was filled with insignificant discussions about ceremonial washings, the proper length of the priestly garments, even discussions about the quarter second when the new moon or Sabbath began. Sounds like really fun sermons to listen to, doesn't it? But the worst part about the scribes' preaching and teaching wasn't just that they were boring. Their words were spiritually dead. Their teaching was legalistic to no end, and it wasn't even usually based on the law of God, but rather on the hundreds of man-made laws that the Jews had developed over the centuries. So yes, some of their teaching might have been very wise. Might have actually been some very good moral advice. But there wasn't anything in their speech that helped to heal people's souls. No wonder in his ministry, Jesus pitied the people of Israel to whom he had come to preach his word. In the Gospel of Matthew, we are told that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now think of the contrast on this particular Sabbath when Jesus is there and he is invited to teach and to preach. Here was the very Word of God standing before them, preaching and teaching, the Word of God in human flesh, preaching his powerful words to the people. He himself was the ultimate authority, and he no doubt preached and taught with the same authoritative conviction. He had no need to quote past rabbis on their interpretations of man-made ceremonial or religious laws. Jesus was the author of God's law itself. Even more importantly, he was the author of the gospel itself. He was the good news about God's love and salvation found in him. And so while the scribes would prattle on about how many steps it was lawful to take on a Sabbath day and other man-made rules, Jesus came preaching words like this: come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And words like this from the Gospel of John: I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you notice a difference there between the boring, man-made, law-driven words of the scribes and Jesus' words of peace, life, and rest in him? That is the difference between the words, the thoughts, and opinions of man and the authoritative, powerful words of Jesus, of God himself. Now let's be honest, just because Jesus preached with the authority of God's word doesn't necessarily prove that he was true God. For example, we too have been given God's authoritative and powerful words by Jesus himself, but that by no means puts us on the same par with Jesus. A few years ago, I was teaching some younger children in the church and school that I was serving in Nebraska. I believe I was teaching this devotion to kindergartners. We were going through the account of Mark chapter 4, and it's the account of Jesus calming the storm on the sea. And it was snowing while we were doing our morning devotion that day, so I asked them as we were finishing up the reading of the lesson, I said, What do you think if I just stopped right now and stood up and said, stop to the snowstorm outside? What do you think is going to happen? Stop, be still, just like Jesus said when he calmed the storm that day. And the kids were all waiting with bated breath. And so I did. I stopped and I stood up and I said, be still, as I looked out the window. And do you know what happened? Absolutely nothing. My point was made. I was very grateful that the snow did not stop right then and there. Jesus, on the other hand, proved that he was the Son of God by showing that his words had power over nature in that account of Jesus calming the storm on the sea. And in our text, he does a very similar thing. He shows that he has power in his powerful words, even over Satan and his demons. Notice in our text that when Jesus casts out this unclean spirit or this demon from this man, he doesn't have to perform some elaborate incantation, doesn't call on the power of someone or something else. No, our text says, Jesus rebuked the spirit saying, be quiet, come out of him. And the unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and after crying out with a loud voice, it came out of him. It's also interesting to note from the text that the people who were there witnessing this incident in the synagogue seemed to understand that there was a connection between the power of Jesus preaching and the power of his words that expelled this demon. Listen again to the words of verse 27 from our text. It says, everyone was so amazed that they began to discuss this with each other. They said, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him. In fact, if you read this account in Luke's gospel, his recording of this incident, the people also said, what a word this is. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Yes, what a word this is. There are no words that are more powerful or more authoritative than Jesus' words. And the amazing thing is that Jesus, our God and Savior, has given us his very words. Words of power. Words of forgiveness. Words of healing. Life and salvation. We speak the words of Jesus, and therefore we can speak with his authority. Not in weakness or uncertainty like the opinions or false teachings or false religions that are made up by human beings. No, we speak about Jesus, how he lived and died to pay the punishment of hell for our sins. We also speak the very words that Jesus spoke, the very powerful words of God himself. The devil still cannot stand against the power of those words that Jesus has given to us, his church. Just like Jesus told Peter and his disciples, the gates of hell will not overpower it. Jesus' powerful words can still cast out the unclean spirits, the demons from our lives. It can expose the lies that Satan has led us to believe and gives us the Holy Spirit and the power to overcome our sinful flesh, which Satan is constantly trying to use to make us his own, to turn us away from Jesus and to turn to anything else other than him. Through the power of God's Spirit, the Apostle James reminds us that we can resist the devil and he will flee from you. We began our sermon today by thinking about the power of words. That fact should remind each one of us to use our words carefully. As you go about your day today, as you go about your week this week, think carefully about how you are going to use your words. How are you going to wield their power? Are you going to use your words to build up, to encourage, to heal? Or are you going to use them as a weapon to tear down and destroy? Most importantly, as you go about your day and your week, remember the amazing fact that you have been reminded of again today. You have been given Jesus' powerful words. Think carefully about how today and this week you're not just going to go about using your own words, but how you're going to go about using Jesus' words and remember to use them. Listen to them, read them for yourself, and draw from their power. And remember that there are people in your life and people you will run into this week who need to hear those words that you've drawn strength and power from. Both believer and unbeliever alike need to hear those words of Jesus. Jesus' words give hope. They give forgiveness, and they give life. No words we speak can have more power, more meaning, and more authority than Jesus' powerful words. And so we conclude our sermon today with this short prayer. We pray. Dear Jesus, help us to speak your powerful words, which you have given us today and every day. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.